remind you all of our Cornerstone Connect number. Okay, 605-215-5150. This is a number you can call. We encourage our church to use this whenever they have questions about a message. If I don't explain something clearly, if I don't make any sense to them, they can ask a question. This is a text number. I know I said call. Forget what I said before. I could edit it out, but I don't want to. Okay? This is a text number, all right? Nobody will answer this number, but you text in your questions, whatever you have. If you have questions about the church, maybe you're checking this out. Feel free to use it for that as well. But every week, I encourage our people to use this tool to continue the conversation after Sunday. We don't want Sunday just to be a one-stop shop. If all you're doing, whether even if you attend another church, if all you're doing is going on Sunday morning, that's not enough. You've got to have other believers in your life. You've got to be engaging in God's Word and growing. And maybe you're just you're watching today. You wouldn't say you're a follower of Jesus, but maybe you are just checking things out. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're trying to figure things out. I want to thank you for joining us today. Use this number. Ask us a question, okay? And we would love to follow up with you to be able to help answer any questions we can. And so 605-215-5150, take advantage of that. But here's my opening question this morning. This is a question to get us started. I usually ask a question because I want your brains going, all right? I don't want you to be passive listeners. I want you to be active listeners. I want you thinking and engaging your brain. Here's a question. Are you a fair weather follower? Are you a fair weather follower? What does that mean? What does it mean if you're fair weather? That means what? You only like to go outside when the weather's nice. You'll often hear the phrase used in conjunction with a sports team. Are you a fair weather fan? I am a long, long-suffering Kansas City Chiefs fan my whole life until this year. Woo! Super Bowl. 50 years. It took 50 years. I was not alive for the first one. I know some of you think I'm old. I am not that old. But 50 years. So I've waited my whole life for a Super Bowl victory. So very excited about that. But some of you might be a fair weather fan, whether it's the USD Coyotes. Notice how I said that correctly, Brad Erickson. USD Coyotes, Kevin Noble, Coyotes. Whether it's the Coyotes, a professional sports team, whatever it is, basketball, football, baseball, maybe you're a fair weather fan. You only show up when things are going well. So that's the question this morning. Are you a fair weather follower? But I'm asking that in relation to Jesus Christ. And so many people become fair weather followers of Jesus because maybe he does something they don't understand, or maybe they assume they know what he's going to do and he doesn't. But we're going to look at that this morning as we look at Palm Sunday, as we look at a couple of the different crowds that gathered here. And so does your faith falter when God isn't easy to understand? Listen, you might be a fair weather follower. Okay, but let's talk about this. I'm going to pray before we go any further. Let's pray that God will reveal himself through his word and that he would teach us what he wants us to learn today. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for this special morning. I thank you for everyone that is gathering around, Lord, those that are watching this live, those that are going to watch it later. We thank you for the opportunity to continue to speak and teach your word. And God, I pray that you would just speak through me, that whatever you once said this morning, that whatever needs to be taught, that you would use me, Lord, and speak through me, and that we would all receive what you want us to receive this morning. God, I pray for the hearers this morning, that you would open their hearts and their minds to hear what you want them to hear this morning and receive. And God, we just give you permission to do whatever you want to do in our lives. And I pray that those that know you, that have dedicated their lives to follow you, that we would be more like you, Lord, that we would be changed in Jesus' name. And if somebody is listening and they don't know you, God, I pray that you would tug on their hearts, Lord, that by your Spirit you would speak to them. You would just draw them a little bit closer to you. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning, we're going to look back at Palm Sunday, okay? And so here's a little bit of background of what was going on. Jesus had been ministering publicly for about 3 years. His popularity with the people was at its highest. Man, it was at its peak. Okay, we've seen a lot of graphs about the curve and the virus, but if you would look at Jesus' ministry, I mean, this was at the absolute peak. Just recently, before he enters Jerusalem here and what we're getting ready to read, he had just raised a man from the dead. Lazarus was resurrected, and so Jesus had new followers. Jesus, man, his followers were hyped, man. They were excited about him, and along with his disciples, many came to Jerusalem with him, all right? And so as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, people were preparing to celebrate Passover. And Jesus had increasingly become a problem for the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders of that time. And they were very nervous about his popularity because his popularity meant bad news for them. They were nervous about his intentions, and they were nervous about the following that was gathering around him. And so as we get ready to jump into Scripture, go ahead and grab your Bibles with me. This is really a story of two different crowds and two different reactions, but I think we can learn something and hopefully be challenged by what we read this morning. So we're going to begin by reading in the Gospel of John. Okay, this is one of the four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament. And so we're going to be in it. John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "The next day the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem." And so like I said, everybody began gathering in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival, Passover. This is arguably their most important festival that they would gather and celebrate. The festival commemorated their deliverance from Egypt when they were slaves. Okay, and the Jews would go on this pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to worship and celebrate at the temple and with other Jews there in Jerusalem. And so there were Jewish people visiting from all over. Those that came from outside of Jerusalem were there, and Jesus enters into this situation. And it wasn't uncommon for people to celebrate the Jews that were on their pilgrimage, the Jewish pilgrims, as they come back to celebrate Passover with other Jews. And so it wasn't uncommon for people to be celebrated. But there's something here that indicates this is very different. When Jesus came to town, it was different than just another Jewish guy, just another Jewish teacher and some of his followers. It was something different to this entry into Jerusalem. Let's continue reading. Verse 13, it says, "Then they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" And so this was a very significant development. This was more than just an average celebrating pilgrims who returned to Jerusalem. Man, this was something else entirely. Man, they're waving palm branches. I can just imagine them ripping branches off of trees, waving them in the air like they just don't care, and shouting, "Hosanna." So this was something different entirely, church. And so what's significant here is palm branches, the significance of that. And if you got one at home, go ahead and wave it. You can wave your palm branch. If you don't have a palm branch, do some thumbs up or hearts or something. But palm branches were used to pay respect and homage to royalty, to kings, queens, to rulers. Okay? So this wasn't just people excited waving leaves around. Okay? This wasn't some indiscriminate leaf waving. Okay? But we also read in other Gospels, the other biographies of Jesus, that they not only waved palm branches, but they would lay their cloaks, their outer garments on the ground. And Jesus, as he's riding the donkey that we'll see in just a minute, would walk on top of those. This was another sign of homage or respect, usually reserved for royalty. And so as we look at this, we see the people's reaction was just over the top. So they knew there was something different about Jesus. There was something different about his entrance. And it speaks to his royalty. It speaks to him being a king, even if it was a different kind of king. But look at this also. Hosanna, the word Hosanna literally means, "Oh, save." And so as they're coming in, it's like they're yelling, "Save us, save us." There's an expectation there that accompanies Jesus when he shows up to Jerusalem. And so keep in mind what they're celebrating. They're celebrating Passover. They're celebrating their last great deliverance, their last great victory when they were subject to Egypt and they were serving as slaves. And so the people in Jerusalem, man, that's already on their mind. In fact, the Roman Empire would send extra soldiers to Jerusalem at this time to keep the peace. They were concerned about an uprising. They were concerned about a coup. They don't want to revolt. And so as Jews would come all over, even Rome was on a high alert. Man, they were on high alert. And so the Jews, with this deliverance and freedom in the back of their mind as they're celebrating Passover, they see Jesus coming in, and they're yelling Hosanna, and they're waving palm branches, and they're laying their cloaks on the ground. Okay, this was very, very significant because they long for a return of the nation of Israel. They long for the return of a Davidic king, and they long for freedom from the Roman Empire. Verse 14, look at this. It says, "Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" Listen, you may not know this, but Jesus fulfilled over 100 predictions or prophecies from the Old Testament concerning the Messiah. Over 100, and this is one of them right here. Okay? The Messiah was one that has been prophesied or predicted that would come back to Israel at a certain point and deliver them and provide freedom for them. He was the deliverer that Israel, that the Jewish people, had been waiting on. And sadly, many are still waiting on the Messiah to come because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And this verse is speaking about the prophecy that was made in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's just one of the over 100 that Jesus fulfilled in his lifetime. Because see, typically, This type of reception was reserved for royalty. We discussed that just a few minutes ago. But typically a king would come in, man, he wouldn't be riding a donkey, he was especially a young one, a colt. He would be riding, man, he'd be riding a war horse. And a horse signified victory and conquest. The king would come in on a horse, a sign of victory, conquest. But Jesus comes in on a donkey, which was a symbol of peace. And so some in the crowd might have recognized this as a fulfillment of prophecy. Some of them would have, some of them wouldn't have. But by their reaction, I think many recognized or at least hoped that Jesus was what they had been waiting for. But not all understood what Jesus was doing. Not all understood that Jesus is coming a little bit differently than they thought that he might. Look at verse 16. It says, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that all these things had been done to him. So even his closest followers didn't grasp everything that happened during Jesus' life until after he died and rose again. So even his closest people, much less those in the crowd, much less the Pharisees. And so this was a common theme on this very first Palm Sunday. Very few understood what was really happening, what kind of kingdom Jesus came to establish. Let's look at Luke's telling of the story. We're going to pick up the story in the Gospel of Luke, another one of the biographies of Jesus. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 39, it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, these stones will cry out. Man, well, that sounds sort of nuts, okay? The rocks are going to start singing. The rocks are going to start shouting. But the Pharisees didn't like what was happening there. They didn't like what the people were proclaiming, because the Pharisees understood the significance of that. They understood the significance of the palm branches. They understood the significance of the clothes on the ground. They understood the significance of yelling, Hosanna. They understood the messianic implications. They understood that, and they're like, Jesus, you're not the Messiah. Your disciples need to be quiet. But Jesus didn't deny it. He just embraced the acclaim. And the stones he's talking about, most scholars believe he was referring to the temple. And so this was, man, this hit the Pharisees hard. Man, they hated Jesus for this. They already didn't trust him. They already didn't understand what he was up to. He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to their position. And they didn't want to lose their place and position in society. And they were very concerned about this. But here's the sad thing, folks, that the Pharisees, of all people, if anybody understood who Jesus was or should have recognized, it was the Pharisees. I mean, they were the churchiest of the church people. They were the most scholarly of the scholars. They should have known. They should have recognized. They knew Scripture. They knew Zechariah. They knew all the prophecies and predictions. They should have. They understood the Old Covenant. They understood about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They understood about Moses. But Jesus didn't come like he thought. Like they thought he should. And that's the thing. Jesus was up to something they didn't recognize, that they didn't understand. Even those in the crowd that wanted him to be the Messiah, they thought he was going to bring immediate physical deliverance. They thought he was going to overthrow Rome. But Jesus didn't act like they thought he should. Let's keep reading verse 41. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment, against you and encircle them and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So Jesus here, as he approached, man, he weeps over the city because he recognizes there's a disconnect. He recognizes that even those who should have known didn't know. They didn't understand. And he says, listen, everything you hold dear, Jerusalem, the temple, man, it's going to be torn down. He's predicting the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. It happened. He said, man, if you only knew, if you only understood, what would bring you peace? You see, Jesus was entering Jerusalem in a different way than both groups thought that he would. Those that hoped he was the Messiah, they didn't recognize what he was up to. They didn't understand. The ones that should have recognized that he was the Messiah, that didn't, because they were so concerned about their own power, their own position, their own autonomy, that they rejected Jesus as Messiah. And so he was not entering as a conquering king on a horse. He was entering as a heartbroken Savior is entering to bring peace between God and man, riding on a young donkey. And church, I don't know if those words haunted some of those people later. I don't know. The words that said, if you had only known, and that you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And church, this is a tragedy because many people here and now will spend many, many years in church but never truly know Jesus because they never truly surrendered their life to Him and experienced the freedom that He came to give them. Many people maybe spend their lives around church, around Jesus, but not really ever experience the freedom that He brings. And that's a tragedy that so many people will be so close yet so far. And we see here in the story, we see the heart of a Savior who is heartbroken for His people because their trust was in all the wrong things. Their trust and their faith was in the city of Jerusalem. Their trust and their faith and their hope was in the temple. Their trust and their faith and hope was in their rituals, was in their traditions, was in their teachings. That Jesus would come on a donkey as a symbol of peace to bring peace between God and man. And I think the saddest thing is many of those that probably cheered for Jesus in that crowd would abandon Him days later. Even many of His closest disciples, they would abandon Him days later when He was arrested, when He was beaten, when He was tortured and put upon the cross. But Jesus came to bring peace. Man, that's the story of this entire week. And it starts here on Palm Sunday. Jesus coming in on a donkey, coming in as the Messiah, as a king of peace. They came to bring peace between God and man. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let's turn there. Starting at verse 24, it speaks of this peace that Jesus came to bring. It says, God will credit righteousness for us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there was an eternal separation because of man's rebellion, an eternal separation between God and man. And Jesus didn't come, in this passage read, He didn't come to conquer. He came to bring spiritual freedom. He came to bring people who were in bondage, enslaved to sin. He came to bring them freedom by bringing peace between God and man. And listen, it's sad to think that many people live the way that some of these people did. They can cheer for Jesus one day, and then maybe when Jesus doesn't do something that they didn't expect, or maybe God does something unpredictable, or He doesn't come through how they want Him to, they can cheer for Him one day and jeer for Him the next. And maybe you're watching, whether you're part of Cornerstone Church or not, maybe you walked away from your faith because God didn't perform like you wanted Him to perform. You're happy to follow Him if He was doing what was predictable, if He was doing what was comfortable for you, if He was doing what you expected. But here we see two crowds, two different reactions, but they both misunderstood what He was up to. And almost all of them rejected Him in the end. He wasn't the Savior that they expected, so they abandoned Him. He wasn't the Messiah that they were hoping for or wanting, so they rejected Him. And some might have joined the call even just days later to crucify Him as a crowd yelled to crucify Jesus. And so, I'm going to go back to the first question I ask as we begin to wrap up. Are you a fair-weather follower? If you're a follower of Jesus, are you a fair-weather follower of Christ? Are you in love with Jesus when you can predict what He's going to do or when He does what you think He should do? Or when life happens or you feel like things are spinning out of control, do you begin to waffle in your faith in Christ because your faith is more in your circumstances or your ability to figure things out than it is in Christ Himself? And listen, if you're listening and that's you, that is a horrible place to be. That's one of the most miserable places to be. Of attempting to follow Jesus but then figure everything out at the same time. Listen, there are plenty of things we can know about God. Scripture is full of things that we can learn about Him. I'm not saying we can't know Him or understand anything about Him. But what we need to understand is Scripture reveals His character. And that's what we place our trust in. Scripture reveals the person of Jesus. Scripture reveals the character of God. And that is what we place our trust in. We don't place our trust in God if we can figure out this coronavirus or not. That's not what we place our trust in. We don't place our trust in God only when things are going well in our lives or only when things are going well in our church. We place our trust in Him because Scripture and the person of Jesus has revealed the character of God. They've revealed who He is, and we can trust that. That's what we place our faith in. Not if God comes through how we want Him to, but we know that God, through Jesus Christ, has already come through for us with the most important need we had, and that was to bring us peace between God and us, to bridge that gap that sin had separated, to bridge that gap that our rebellion had caused. And so, believer, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, make sure that your faith is in the person of Jesus and that your faith is in the character of God that we see revealed through Scripture. That it's not in your reasoning ability, it's not in circumstance, but it's in the person of Jesus. And listen, if you're an unbeliever this morning, maybe you'd say, hey, I'm an atheist, or maybe I'm curious, or I'm a skeptic. Listen, whatever you would classify yourself, listen, you might be searching for truth, you may not be. You may be very comfortable with where you're at. But listen, if you are a seeker of truth, if you're searching for God at all, are you searching for a God that you can control? Are you searching for a Savior that you completely figure out and understand? Because if you are, you may miss the real Jesus. You may miss the real Savior that you've been looking for. Because that is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He says it Himself. He says He's the only way to the Father. He's the one that brought us peace when our sin caused separation. And so listen, if you're searching for God, I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you to pray. Listen, you may not even believe in prayer. I don't care. I challenge you, no, I dare you to pray that God would begin to open your eyes to the reality of Jesus. That God would open your eyes to your reality to need Him. And listen, you can be skeptical. That is fine. Everybody starts somewhere. Everyone who follows Jesus now at some point had to turn from their sin, from their old life. And that's how it works. We all start in the same boat. We are born into sin. We are born prone to rebellion. And yes, my rebellion may look different than your rebellion, but it's all rebellion against the Creator of the universe. And God in His divine justice knew that somebody had to pay the price, and God took that penalty upon Himself in the person of Jesus to pay the penalty of our sin, of our cosmic rebellion. He took that upon Himself. And as we get into this week, as we lead up to Good Friday, we are going to celebrate that online together, church. And so look for an announcement about that. We're going to have a special Easter service online next Sunday, and we look forward to that. But I want to challenge you before I pray. If you're a believer, make sure that your faith is in the person of Jesus Christ, God's character that is revealed in Scripture, not in your own understanding, not in your own abilities, but in Him and Him alone. That type of faith will see you through times like this when life looks a little chaotic, when life looks like it's spinning out of control. And if you're an unbeliever, may I encourage you, use the text number 605-215-5150. Man, I'd love to talk to you about matters of faith. I'd love to connect with you. Okay, but I challenge you to pray to a God you might not even believe in and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. And I believe He will. Because God's Word said He's not hiding from us, that we will find Him when we seek Him with all of our heart. That's a promise. He wants to be found. So let's pray this morning as I begin to close. Thank you for joining us today. And so let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for today. God, this is the day that You have made. And yes, we are having to do things different than normal because of this virus. But God, this was not a surprise to You. This was not a surprise to You at all. And so, Lord, I pray that You use this time as we are developing new habits. God, as we are learning new skills, I pray that You would use this time for the church to really come alive, for the church to be what the church needs to be. And God, as we've talked today about these reactions from the crowd and from the Pharisees, I pray that everyone listening, Lord, that they would inspect their heart. God, that they would have a clear understanding of whether they're a fair-weather follower of Christ or not. But God, I pray that You would challenge them in their faith and that they would take a hold of the truth of Your Word and that their faith would be upon You and You only. Not in their own intellect, not in their own rationality, not in their own reasoning, but upon You and You alone. And Lord, for those listening that may not know You, God, I pray that in this moment, if they recognize their need for You, Lord, that they would admit their sin, that they would believe, Jesus, that You are the only way, and that You died and rose for them and paid the penalty of their sin for them. And they would confess You as Lord, that they would go all in with You. But God, if they're not ready, I pray that you would just, God, that you would speak to them by your Spirit, that you would draw them closer to you. God, that you would put a pebble in their shoe that they could not get away from, and that your Spirit would continue to draw them to you, Lord, and that they would come to the end of themselves and recognize their need for you. And so, Lord, we also pray for our community of Vermilion. God, I pray for the city leaders. God, I pray for first responders. I pray for healthcare workers. God, we pray for supernatural protection for this town. God, I pray that you would raise up every church in this town, Lord, to function as you have called us to function, that we could bring hope to people that desperately need it. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in us as Cornerstone Church. We thank you, God. We believe we are going to grow through this. God, we believe better days are still ahead. We believe in what you're doing here. God, we've seen your hand move. But God, I pray a blessing for other churches, God, for other churches, Lord, that are committed to your word, that are committed to preaching Jesus. Lord, bless them. Protect the pastors. Protect the families from sickness and disease. And God, we just proclaim freedom for Vermilion right now in Jesus' name, that your Spirit would do what only you can do. Lord, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for your word. I pray that it continue to change all of us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.